State that had great pride in this WB logo.
And you'll stop at the Golden Blue.
It is a great night to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be.
And now it's the show brought to you by Mountaineer fans for Mountaineer fans, the Country Roads Webcast. What's going on, Mountaineer Nation? Welcome into Season 6, Episode 186 of the CRW Podcast. Here to do a little season review of the 2023 WVU football season, what we can all deem a very successful one. 9 wins, second highest win total since West Virginia joined the Big 12 Conference, so that's a success in and of itself. But want to dive in a little bit on some of the particulars, hand out some superlatives, reached out to some of you guys on social media. You gave me some of yours. We're going to be talking best play, team MVP, best newcomer, all sorts of things like that, and also going to break down some season statistics and talk a little bit of fun roster building for 2024 throughout the way as well. But most of all, going to try and put a bow on 2023, talk about all the standouts, both on the offense for West Virginia, the defense for West Virginia, where the Mountaineers stood out as a team statistically, both within the conference and nationally. So it should be a fun episode with a lot of fun things to dive into here, and we're going to touch on all of that here towards the latter part of the episode. But before we get there, guys, to start this off the way we always like to here on the episodes of the CRW Podcast, and that's of course with a little bit of Mountaineer news. All right, leading off Mountaineer news here with an interesting piece that kind of affects both sports, actually, coincidentally enough, and that is because a football player, Aiden Tagaloa-Nelson, who was a freshman this past season, has been added to the basketball roster here at the midpoint of the season, ahead of the start of the second semester. They announced that he would be joining the basketball roster, becoming the 14th member. As you see here, shared on WVSportsNow.com. Be sure to head over there for all your Mountaineer sports content needs, as well as episodes of our show. You can catch the episodes the CRW Podcast in video format there as well. Be sure to hop over there and do that if you haven't already. And as you can see here, covered over on WVSN, and the tweet shared that the university's official basketball page put out, "Welcome to the squad. Aiden has been added to our roster for the remainder of the season." So a safety on the football team, was a state championship basketball player in high school, actually at Woodford County High, and extremely athletic. I saw a clip going around on Twitter of him with a viral dunk, a posterizing dunk over someone. So good athleticism for West Virginia to add, 6'1", so obviously going to be a player in the backcourt for the team. But I think additionally, this helps just depth purposes wise. You get another player in the practice facility to help you out scrimmage wise. And, you know, that's one reason when you look at some of the struggles the basketball team has had throughout this season. You've seen them put together some really close first halves, but then in the second half, they kind of fade away. And a lot of that, I think, is due to depth. So maybe adding another body to the roster with Aiden Nelson, a football player coming over to help, can help alleviate that a little bit, and maybe adding a little bit more depth can allow West Virginia to fight a little bit further into these games and have a chance to win some more of these games in the closing time there. But also interesting to point out, if we remember, the basketball kind of program kind of loaned a player to the football program last year. Remember, Jimmy Bell came over for the spring, so perhaps the basketball staff was asking for a little bit of "you scratch our back, we scratch yours" type scenario. We loaned you Jimmy before, we could really use an extra body. How do you have anyone that you would allow to join the team? They sent over Aiden Nelson, and voila, new addition to the basketball roster. But certainly wanted to cover that here in Mountaineer news. But on with some more football centric topics here. And one of these, much to the chagrin of West Virginia fans, but the other will make you a little bit more happy. And I'm sure you've probably heard about these, but when we're doing a season review podcast episode here, got to address West Virginia's end of the season rankings. We know it had been a hot topic throughout the season that West Virginia had never been ranked in the Neil Brown era. A lot of people thought that if West Virginia could finish with 9 wins, they had a great chance to finally be ranked in the final poll of 2023, which could potentially lead to West Virginia being ranked heading into 2024, which I certainly think will still happen. I think West Virginia will end up in the top 25 poll next season leading into the season and maybe even in the top 20. But the AP poll, West Virginia was just on the outside looking in of this poll to end the season. As you see here over on WVSN, West Virginia received 90 votes. That would put them about 27th in the AP poll. So a lot of West Virginia fans were really upset about this. But as West Virginia fans, we would have a poll that we could latch on to more and one that we respect more coming out just a few short hours later after the AP poll. And of course, that was the coaches poll. And if you're asking me, the coaches seem to have a lot more sense than the AP poll voters do because they vote West Virginia into the top 25. And I say that because if you saw it going around, there were certainly some great stats going around. I believe Chris Anderson from 247 Sports was one that shared it. West Virginia was the only Power 5 team that won their bowl game and finished with 9 wins that wasn't ranked. And West Virginia was, the only one being slighted there. So I think that the coaches poll got it right. West Virginia does finish ranked in the top 25 in the coaches poll to end the season. So, you know, if you want to look at the coaches poll, West Virginia finally ranked in the Neil Brown era and well-deserved after such a successful season. West Virginia deserved to be in there. They get in there at number 25 in the coaches poll, at least to end the year. So there you have it, your first top 25 ranking of the Neil Brown era. More to come in the future, I'm sure, moving ahead in 2024. But as we progress here through Mountaineer News, I want to touch a little bit on West Virginia's incoming recruiting class. I know that we've shared that here in the past on Mountaineer News, but I had some highlights here. I know someone in the past have asked about early enrollees, so I wanted to share this list one more time with the early enrollee highlighted. Most of these are already on campus, actually, with the semester just starting here a couple of weeks ago. But as we scroll through the list, the early enrollees for West Virginia will be defensive lineman Nate Gabriel out of Florida, tight end Jack Samarco out of Ohio, Zay Jennings out of Ohio as well, an athlete, could play receiver or defensive back. Believe he's going to play defensive back for the Mountaineers, if I'm not mistaken. And then you get Elijah Kinsler, a defensive lineman out of New Jersey. Of course, West Virginia's quarterback in this class, Khalil Wilkins, is going to enroll early as well. And then you get Jacob Boyce, a defensive back, and the 4-star edge rusher that West Virginia is really excited about to add to the pass rush next year, Obina Onwuka, on campus early as well. So we wanted to highlight those early enrollees. And then lastly, to finish out here on Mountaineer News, just wanted to provide a brief update on West Virginia's transfer in list. We've had a couple of players kind of rescind their commitment to West Virginia, so wanted to update this list to reflect that and show you guys the transfers in for West Virginia in this first cycle. We'll be adding more transfers, of course, after spring football, so don't think this is a finalized list or anything, but this is just what it looks like heading into spring football practice here in just a couple of months. All right, and if you've been following along on the Country Roads Webcast YouTube channel, I've been updating this throughout the offseason, doing a video on each transfer out for West Virginia, each transfer in, and trying to update the targets when West Virginia did have some. Right now, currently, that's kind of bare. West Virginia's transfer in list is slightly different. They had a couple of safeties committed. Taj Rael was one. I've already removed him. The other one was Josh Minkins. Both of those guys have decided not to attend West Virginia, and they lose the two safety transfers that they had committed. Now, the question a lot of people are asking is, why is this? I think there's multiple reasons. I think, for one, there were some rumors throughout the offseason regarding some safeties on West Virginia's roster that may or may not be returning. West Virginia's locked both those guys down. Aubrey Burks and Anthony Wilson have signed deals to return for 2024 with the Country Roads Trust, so that plays a part. But I think the bigger thing that probably plays a part is the guy that these players thought was going to be their coach coming to West Virginia, Dante Wright, as previously reported here on the Country Roads webcast, accepting the defensive coordinator job at Troy, leaving. So West Virginia going to have a different safeties coach next season. So some of the safeties that were previously committed may have wanted to change their mind because of that as well. I don't necessarily feel like this is a huge loss for West Virginia, just due to the fact that a lot of times after spring football, you can really get some high-level players that enter the portal, and West Virginia could come out on the positive end of this following spring football and get some even more talented additions to add to the safety room to provide depth there in 2024 and hopefully help play that, you know, spear slash nickel position as well for West Virginia moving forward in 2024 that they're going to need as they're kind of switching their defense to more of a 3-4. That position may function a little bit differently, so they may have a couple different bodies they want to bring in there. Maybe they want to bring in a safety type and use one of these cornerbacks that's already transferred into West Virginia in that role some as well. We'll see how it plays out, but I think, you know, it stinks that West Virginia doesn't get a safety in to help them in the spring so they could kind of see what they were working with and maybe see where they wanted to put, you know, some of these guys. Let's not rule out even some of the players that are in the safety room changing positions as well. Could have been a possibility if they had other guys to fill those roles. Now you maybe are kind of not able to do that in the spring at least and work through that. But I think it opens up in the future for the potential of adding, you know, maybe even a more talented player, a more talented transfer down the line. So we'll see what happens. But West Virginia certainly will add a safety when the transfer portal window opens up yet again after spring football. But for now, the transfers in for West Virginia that are already on campus here going into spring, like we said, same thing for the early enrollees goes for the transfers as well. I believe all of these have been announced at this moment, if I'm not mistaken. And that is Aiden Garnes, the cornerback from Duquesne, Jaden Bray, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State, TJ Crandall, another corner from Colorado State, Ty French, an edge rusher from Gardner-Webb, Reed Carrico, a linebacker from Ohio State, TJ Jackson, a defensive end from Troy, and Xavier Bosley, an offensive lineman, potentially a right tackle for the Mountaineers, coming over from Jacksonville State there, where he was coached by Rich Rod and Rick Trickett. So obviously familiarity with West Virginia there. But I wanted to update the transfers in here as we're getting closer to the, you know, the start of spring football, and we've had an update with a couple of transfers that were believed to come to WVU, change their mind there. So I wanted to update that as we get set to close up the Mountaineer news set. But certainly West Virginia has brought in some transfers that I think can provide them a big boost for this upcoming season. And speaking of big boosts, you know, when I'm talking about big boosts here on the CRW, there's nothing that's provided me an even bigger boost here recently than Magic Mind. These little 2.5 ounce productivity shots have been working wonders for me ever since I've used them. You guys know I had a problem with coffee, really, you know, just too much coffee consumption. It was morning to night for me. And ever since I started taking Magic Mind, I'm down to a cup a day or sometimes even half a cup a day. And that caffeine that I get from that still has the same benefits. It lasts me all day long because of Magic Mind and the things that it can do. It can stretch out that caffeine, make it last longer for you. Also, you know, with taking less coffee in, I'm not as stressed. My anxiety levels are lower. It's just really beneficial for me on my day-to-day. So I can't recommend Magic Mind enough. If you guys want to try it, head over to our link here in the month of January. They're running a great special. You can find it at magicmind.com/Jan Country Roads and use the code CONFIDENTIAL20 for an extra special discount, you guys. And this product is awesome because not only does it help in the ways that I just talked about with the caffeine consumption, with the stress and anxiety levels, but it's also really good health-wise. We're talking keto-friendly, paleo-friendly, vegan, and all natural ingredients involved. Matcha, lion's mane mushroom, ashwagandha, so much more. Really, I think that it's just an absolutely great product. I can't promote it enough, guys. So if you want to get yours, this is the perfect month to do it because here through January, they can help you crush your New Year's resolution fully focused because Magic Mind will always keep you fully focused. And with their new January run here, they are giving us a special where you can get 1 month free if you subscribe for 3 months at the link I just provided there, and that is magicmind.com/JAN Country Roads, and using the code CONFIDENTIAL20, you'll get an extra 20% off. That gets you up to 75% off, but hurry, this only lasts to the end of January, so be sure to hop over there, try it out, get you some of your Magic Mind. It's done wonders for me, just like some of these transfers that we just talked about are going to do wonders for West Virginia in 2024. But before we get there, we got to talk about how the Mountaineers did in 2023. So let's do just that now and dive in on our main topic with our review of the 2023 WVU football season. All right, leading off our season review here, I wanted to start it off with the superlatives, and the three that I've chosen to kind of point out here, I guess four really, because we're going offense and defensive on one, are play of the year, offensive MVP, defensive MVP, and newcomer of the year. And when I was originally going to record this episode, which was about a week ago, full disclosure, you know, had a lot go on over the week, had to take, you know, a week off from the channel and the podcast, but now, you know, back at it, had some unforeseen and unexpected things come up, unfortunately, but now ready to do it. But when I originally had, I'd put this out on social media, a call for you guys to kind of get your best play, your MVP, or your newcomer, anything you wanted to share there. And had a couple people with responses here, so wanted to highlight y'all's first before I share my own. And that was Liam Wright on X was the one that responded there. Appreciate you responding. He said for MVP, he would have a three-way tie between Garrett Green, Zach Frazier, and Beanie. And I think those are all great choices. I appreciate you sharing that thought there with us, Liam Wright. And then also when I posted it on the YouTube community page there as well for the CRW, I got a good response there from our friend Silas. And Silas says his favorite play would have been Clemson's late touchdown in Houston if it weren't followed up the way that it was. We all know how that one ended. His MVP of the team is the entire offensive line, and his newcomers of the year are Jaheim White and Rodney Gallagher III, aka RG3 there. So really good choices as well. I think, you know, best play, that's one that a lot of people are probably going to highlight. But if it would have ended differently, you know, I think if it does end differently, you know, that Hail Mary doesn't connect, then that's probably the play of the year. I think it's certainly one of the candidates. I think another one is the Zach Frazier play, you know, that kind of ended his, I guess, career at WVU, for lack of a better word there. The hustle that he did, you know, to make the play, to carry Hudson Clement for the first down. Of course, the knowledge to get off the field, that would be one. But for me, if we're talking best play, I'll go ahead and talk about mine. I think that it's the play against Baylor, the touchdown to win that game when West Virginia had, you know, for more or less, you know, really struggled throughout most of that game, but they really put it together when they needed it. And that's something I think you could say about Garrett Green throughout the entire 2023 season, is when West Virginia had called on him in clutch time, he made plays time and time again, especially in, you know, 2 minute and 1 minute, you know, to go scenarios, whether it was end of half or end of game, he was making plays for West Virginia, and he really did it at the end of the season against Baylor. And to me, this is such an important play, because I think that right now, the tone of the fan base after this 2023 season and how successful it was is really, really good. It's probably the best place the fan base has been in quite some time. I don't want to say it's 100% united right now. There's still some people that are skeptical and not, you know, quote unquote, trusting the climb, whatever you want to call it. But I think that the way that things ended, West Virginia getting the eighth win in this game against Baylor, and then, of course, going on to win the bowl game, handedly get the ninth win, finish ranked in the coaches' poll, as we talked about earlier in the Mountaineer News segment, really has the fan base super excited. We're talking about probably one of the most anticipated WVU seasons coming up in 2024 in at least a handful of years, right? And definitely the most anticipated season opener in probably 20 years at West Virginia there, for West Virginia at Mountaineer Field. So I think all of those things don't happen if West Virginia ends up 7-5 and loses that game against Baylor. They don't put together that last drive, and they don't put together this play, which to me is the best play of the year for those reasons. So let's share it. It's a touchdown from Garrett Green to Jaheim White with 30 seconds left to defeat the Baylor Bears in the final game of the WVU football regular season.
Garrett drops. Garrett fires the ball down left side. Wide open receiver. Pass caught. Touchdown, West Virginia. Jaheim White caught it. A 29-yard reception down the left sideline. He was wide open with 23 seconds to go. And the Mountaineers score it on Jaheim White down the left sideline with 23 ticks on the clock. Garrett Green fired it. A beautiful ball in stride by Jaheim White.
And so there you have it. Great call from Tony Caridi. West Virginia finishes the year 8-4 and then 9-4, and spirits are high heading into the 2024 season, and rightfully so with all West Virginia has coming back. So for me, that's the play of the year for that reason. Offensive MVP, I think that our friend Silas hit the nail on the head right there with some of his candidates talking about Zach Frazier, Garrett Green. I think you would go either way. I'm going to go with Zach Frazier just because when I look at West Virginia in the bowl game, I know West Virginia won that game handedly, but I don't think their offense operated as smoothly. And I think one reason is just because Zach Frazier, you can do so many different things with him than you can with any other center. And this isn't a knock on Brandon Yates. I'm fully have a lot of faith in him. I think he's going to be a great center for West Virginia as well. But Zach Frazier's just special. I mean, West Virginia was pulling him at times on run plays this season, just doing all kinds of crazy things with him. He was leading Garrett Green on quarterback counters, quarterback powers, despite, you know, being the center. Not a lot of teams pull their center and do the things that West Virginia was able to do in their offense. Also, it really helped West Virginia's inside zone that Zach Frazier's able to take on a lot of one-on-one blocks and handle things in a way when he doesn't need help when most centers do. And so I think Zach Frazier's just really special. So he's got to be the MVP, but definitely make a case for Garrett Green, and a rightful case at that as well. I think he's going to be very special. And I think next season, you know, call me crazy, right? But he put together a really special year this year. We can talk about numbers here in a bit, and we're going to do that. But I think that he has a chance to join that elusive 20 and 20 touchdown club. I'm talking 20 passing touchdowns, 20 rushing touchdowns. I don't know. West Virginia does have some really good running backs that are going to score their fair share of rushing touchdowns. Maybe his rushing touchdown number won't be as high next year. But, you know, he had, what, 13 this year, I believe. So you never know. Garrett Green, you certainly make a case for. But I think Zach Frazier is the best center in college football. And I think whoever drafts him in the NFL draft is going to get a steal. So he's my offensive MVP. Defensive MVP for the 2023 season, how can it not be Beanie Bishop? I mean, arguably one of the greatest transfers in WVU football history. I mean, he's got to be. I know that's a big statement to say, right? But when he comes in as a transfer and he's the first player to come in the transfer portal era and earn consensus All-American status and do it in one season. I mean, look at the consensus All-Americans prior to Beanie Bishop. They're all guys that were at WVU for, you know, pretty much their entire career. And Beanie Bishop, that's not the case. He was at WVU for 1 year, found a way to have extreme success in that 1 year, played probably more snaps than anyone else on the defense. More on that momentarily. We're going to talk about some season snap counts. But he was absolutely phenomenal. Had to play a ton with not a lot of depth in West Virginia's secondary. You know, I believe he either broke or tied the school record for pass deflections or pass breakups, led the nation in that category. And, of course, you know, comes away with consensus All-American status when you've been playing football for over 130 years at the West Virginia University and you've only had, you know, 12 other people earn that honor. That's bold, and I don't think you can really pick anyone else for defensive MVP when that occurs. So shout out to Beanie Bishop, an awesome season as a cornerback, and I think he probably sealed his fate as an NFL draft pick in the upcoming draft. Or if not, he's going to get a look because he showed that he can make it happen on special teams as well. Stepping in the bowl game, how about that? First time he ever returns a punt at the college level, and he takes it to the house. That's awesome as well. So shout out to Beanie Bishop, a phenomenal season, his lone season as a Mountaineer. He's my defensive MVP. And then newcomer of the year. I mean, if you follow along the CRW, I mean, are you shocked with what my pick's going to be right here? It's Jaheim White, guys. You guys have seen me. You know, I got the NIL shirt for him. I've got a jersey of his. He's my favorite player on the team, probably. He's my favorite player West Virginia's picked up in quite some time. You know, I put out a video on the CRW YouTube channel a few months prior to the season thinking that he could be a potential breakout player. I think it was titled, Has West Virginia Found Another True Freshman Phenom? I think we can all say resoundingly, yes. I mean, over 800 rushing yards, and he didn't play in, you know, what, half the season probably for the Mountaineers, didn't really get involved until the latter portion of the season. So I think we've just seen the tip of the iceberg. The sky's the limit for what Jaheim White could potentially be throughout his career at West Virginia, and I'm super excited to see what that young man does in 2024. Super explosive, something we've been missing at WVU for a while, is that just type of explosion that he brings to the game. You know, he's kind of just makes you reminisce about the early, you know, 2000s days of West Virginia football when we always had those type of players, those diminutive, speedy type players that could take it to the house at any moment. You know, Jock Sanders, Noel Devine, Tavon Austin, Darius Renaud, hit, you know, Steve Slayton. He's right in the same mold. I think you can mention right him, you know, along those guys in play style wise. And certainly I'm super excited to see him in 2024. I think that he certainly is newcomer of the year for me. But if you didn't get a chance to share yours here heading into the episode, be sure to drop yours in the comments. Would love to hear your thoughts on your, you know, offensive or defensive MVP, your play of the year, your newcomer of the year, any of those things. You can drop them in the YouTube comments if you're watching on the CRW channel or on the web there at wvsportsnow.com. We appreciate those interactions. Also would appreciate you hitting the thumbs up button. That helps us a ton. And be sure to subscribe if you're a WVU fan and you haven't already. And if you're on the podcast side, you know, leave it there in the rating review comment there. You know, we appreciate that as well. And if you tuned into that side, be sure to share us around with other Mountaineer fans you may know. You can find us on any podcast platform, Apple, Google, Spotify, you name it. Just search for us there. You can find us Country Roads Webcast on Amazon and iHeartRadio as well. But let's get into the top five player grades of the season. Now, you guys that follow along the CRW YouTube channel throughout the season know this is kind of a feature that I like to do week to week. The top five defensive grades for West Virginia following each game, the top five offensive grades. So now that the season is concluded, I went back on PFF and said, let's pull off the top five highest defensive grades and top five highest offensive grades that, you know, played in a, you know, certain number of games. You know, if they played in one or two games and were high on the list, I wasn't going to include them. So obviously, obviously this may be a discrepancy in some cases, but for the most part, it's pretty straightforward. We'll start with the defensive side for West Virginia. Obviously, the offense would end up being the strength of the team. You know, that wasn't the case that we thought it was going to be throughout, you know, the what, first three or four games of the season, but ultimately, the offense ended up being the strongest unit on this football team. I think that's pretty inarguable here with the way the latter portion of the season turned out. Some of that is due to injury concerns. Some is due to depth concerns. I think the defense will improve in 2024 overall, but there were some standout players, and the highest grades on the season belong to number five, Hershey McLaurin, came out with a 74.6 grade. Now, we do know that Hershey has since moved on, transferred away from West Virginia, will not be back next season, but he does come out as the fifth highest graded Mountaineer on defense in the 2024 season. And then number four, this is a good sign because West Virginia does lose defensive tackle Mike Lockhart, you know, the nose tackle that started most of the season. But when Mike Lockhart wasn't playing, one of the guys that was playing in his place was Hammond Russell. And Hammond Russell comes out on this list, fourth highest graded Mountaineer on defense of the season, 74.9 defensive grade. So positive news for West Virginia's nose tackle spot moving forward, I think, and more on that momentarily. And then number three, just covered him extensively, third highest graded defensive player on the entire season for the Mountaineers, Beanie Bishop. Awesome season for West Virginia, playing the cornerback spot, 75.0 overall grade. And then I said more on the nose tackle spot coming, and of course, it's Fatorma Mulba. I was definitely expecting to see him pop up on this list. Seemed like every week he was in the top three player grades for West Virginia on defense, and this was a guy, you know, playing a reserve role. I expect him to step into more of a starting role next season for the Mountaineers. And I think, you know, it could be really impressive the things that he can do. If he can do this much in a reserve role, he could really be special as a starter for the Mountaineers next season. But the highest grade of Mountaineer on defense, and this one is really exciting to see, especially now knowing that he's returning to West Virginia next season. They have retained Aubrey Burks for his final season as a Mountaineer, and that's great news, and it's great to see him come out as the highest graded player on defense after that scare that we had with him earlier in the season. I'm sure a lot of us wondered if we'd see him again in 2023. Not only do we see him again, but yet again, he reverts to his old form and plays like he never missed a beat. Comes out with a 79.7 grade on defense to be the highest graded Mountaineer on defense in the 2023 season. So those are the top five player grades on defense for the season. Let's flip it over to the other side, talk about the top five player grades on the offensive side. All right, and leading it off on the offensive side, the fifth highest graded Mountaineer on offense overall. How about Hudson Clement in the year that he had? 78.2 grade. And here's a guy that came out as a redshirt freshman, burst onto the scene this season against Duquesne with the amazing performance that he had. So successful when he was called upon, earns himself a scholarship, and goes on to prove throughout the season that that was far from a fluke. Not only is it far from a fluke, you know, he had that period where he was injured, but when he wasn't, and when West Virginia was having these, you know, clutch drives when they had to have it, who do you guys remember them going to a lot? Because I certainly remember it being Hudson Clement. Obviously, we talked about the play against Houston, but, you know, you look against Baylor, a couple of screens to him there, and then a couple of big catches on that game-winning drive when they need to have it. He was making plays against North Carolina as well. I think Hudson Clement is going to be a future star for West Virginia at the wide receiver position moving forward, and West Virginia has multiple freshmen that can be involved there and be stars right alongside of him. But Huddy Tuddy certainly has a bright future, coming out as the fifth highest graded Mountaineer on offense in 2023. And then at number four, we get C.J. Donaldson coming out with the 79.8 grade. Obviously, didn't get to see him in the bowl game, but good to hear that he's getting healthy and we're going to have that lightning and thunder combination of him and Jaheim White together. You know, he was the freshman phenom, you know, year before last. Now you get Jaheim White doing the same thing, and you're going to have them both seasoned and together next year. And with West Virginia now knowing what they're both fully capable of, I think it's going to be fun to see what, you know, Chad Scott and Neil Brown and this offensive staff come up and with and cook up in the offseason to be creative to probably get both those guys on the field at the same time a lot next year. And I think that's going to be fun to see utilized and the different ways that they can do that. And I think CJ could have an even better season next year than what he had this year, with it partly being hampered by injury. And then you've also heard the term sophomore slump. I think early in the season, he may have went through one of those, you know, for a couple of games, but then quickly reverted back to the CJ that we know, the tough runner, the powerful, strong runner that also can, you know, make and break big plays as well. Great catching out of the backfield, great in pass protection. And I think him and Jaheim White being good in pass protection is great for West Virginia's offensive success, not only this year, but in the future, and also goes to show that they will not mind blocking for one another if West Virginia does choose to have them on the field more together next season, which I think certainly could be the case. But when you talk about people blocking, I think that maybe no one, save for maybe Zach Frazier, who we talked about earlier, did a better job of blocking at for West Virginia this season than Wyatt Milam. He just had an incredible year, you know, graded out, according to PFF, one of the top 10 offensive tackles in the country this entire season. And West Virginia did an excellent job when they were running that outside zone to the left with him setting that edge. And I think that will only continue to improve. He did a great job, you know, pass protection on the blind side as well. And I think Wyatt Milam's just going to have a phenomenal career here at West Virginia before he goes on to have a phenomenal career in the Professional Football League as well there as an NFL player. So Wyatt Milam, 80.4, third highest graded Mountaineer on offense in 2023. And then the second highest graded Mountaineer on offense, I won't rave about him too much. You guys have heard me do that time and time again here on the CRW. But of course, it's the freshman phenom, Jaheim White, 89.1 grade. Grades out as one of the top 10 running backs in the entire country. I believe PFF had him as their offensive freshman of the year on their freshman All-American team. You know, multiple freshman All-American honors. Phenomenal year. I think he ended up, what, over 8 yards per carry. We'll look at those numbers more here coming up when we look at stats momentarily. But absolutely amazing season. Can't wait to see what he does moving forward. Jaheim White, second highest graded Mountaineer on offense. And of course, the number one graded Mountaineer on offense, Garrett Green, with the absolutely phenomenal 91.0 offensive grade. I don't think anyone saw this season coming from Garrett. Even his biggest proponents, I think he outperformed all expectations, took great care of the football, did a great job throwing the deep ball. You know, obviously has the explosiveness running the football and really showcased that, you know, over 700 yards rushing, just phenomenal year all around. And some of the numbers he put up are, you know, record breaking at WVU and go alongside, you know, some big time names. We're talking some historic names with some of the stats that he put up. I'm sure you guys saw some of the tweets coming out about some of the things that he did, you know, throughout this season. So I think that, only, you know, the really bright spot about that that gets you excited is always usually, you know, especially at West Virginia, but probably when you look at most places, quarterbacks in their second year starting really take a big jump. And he had a phenomenal first year, maybe more so, you know, a better first year than a lot of quarterbacks, you know, at their first year starting at WVU in recent memory. So I'm really excited for this 2024 season. And I think, you know, a lot of these offensive grades show you why. You know, you looked at the defensive grades, and the highest graded defensive player was a 79.7. The lowest graded offensive player in the top five is a 78.2. And you see Garrett Green all the way up here to 91.0. West Virginia's offense was really just firing on all cylinders to end this season. And if they can carry that into 2024 and, you know, even potentially improve on that, we're talking about an offense that I'm going to be wondering how our defense is going to stop this team next season. So I'm super excited moving forward. But those are the top five highest graded Mountaineers on offense and defense, according to PFF here, for the 2023 season. So now that we looked at some player grades and handed out some superlatives, let's take a look at the stats for West Virginia in 2023. Let's look at some team numbers where West Virginia stood out, and then some individual stats before we get ready to wrap up episode 186 of the CRW podcast here, reviewing the 2023 WVU football season. All right, how about some team stats that were bright spots for West Virginia in 2024? Here's a good one, I think. West Virginia ends the year +3 in turnover margin. That's a good improvement, and I think a lot of that was more them taking care of the ball than, you know, forcing. They didn't force a ton of turnovers, but they really did a great job taking care of the football. If they can continue to do that and increase the number that they force next year, could really help them a ton. They finish in the top five, though, in the Big 12 Conference in turnover margin, so that's a positive team statistic for West Virginia. Just as this one, which I'm sure you probably know already, and that is West Virginia obviously leading the Big 12 in rushing, 228.9 rushing yards per game. But I think the even greater stat that you've probably heard is West Virginia, number three in the nation overall in rushing offense, but the number one rushing offense in all of Power 5 football for the 2023 college football season. That's just so huge, especially with what West Virginia brings back next year. Hopefully they can build upon that. And really, you know, it just shows the steps this staff took in improving this team, because the proof is in the pudding. You go back to, you know, the original year in 2019, West Virginia was lucky if they ran for 75 yards as a team in a game. You know, we were dying for them to get over 100 because they would have success when they did. We had a stat going for a long time of West Virginia being undefeated when rushing for over 100 yards with Neil Brown. Then that moved to 200. You know, they still have a really great record when they run for over 200 yards. So when you're averaging over 220 yards on the season, you're going to have a good record as a team. But the stat that I'm going to throw out here, West Virginia, undefeated under Neil Brown when the team runs for over 300 yards, and Neil Brown, undefeated as a football coach when his teams run for over 300 yards in a game. That goes back to his time at Troy as well. So West Virginia, incredible job rushing the football this season, leading the Big 12 and leading the nation in, as far as Power 5 teams are concerned as well. But the most surprising team stat that I found out that I didn't even realize West Virginia did this year, how about this one, guys? West Virginia leads the Big 12 in sacks. 33 sacks for the Mountaineers on the season. Didn't realize they were putting up that high of a sack total to end up leading the conference, but West Virginia does. So, you know, there were a lot of things to harp on negatively about the defense, but I think they did a good job creating pressure, creating havoc at times this season. I think next year that's going to continue. The defensive line, you know, this staff has done a great job building this program through the trenches, both on offense and defense. That's where the most depth is on this football team. And when you're good in the trenches, you can have success in college football. So that's great for West Virginia. I think that'll continue next season. And I think they've also really are bringing in some special pieces that could help that pass rush and help those sack numbers continue in 2024. We talked about one of them earlier in Ty French that could be a force next season for West Virginia. So this gets me super excited about the improvements next year's defense could make when I see that West Virginia led the Big 12 in sacks in 2023. So that's all I've got team statistic-wise. We pull up the individual numbers, and we'll discuss these briefly, and then we'll talk season snap counts for West Virginia, and then we will get ready to close up shop here on episode 186. Like I said, appreciate you guys tuning in this one, whether you watch the video version, whether you tuned in on the audio side. Appreciate either way you choose to tune in to us here on the Country Roads webcast. Really means a lot to us. But moving on with our season review here with some individual numbers, 2,400 passing yards for Garrett Green, 53% completion rating, but 16 touchdowns versus 4 interceptions is what impresses me the most. Obviously, a lot of people have kind of harped on that completion percentage, want to see it rise up, you know, and I understand that, but West Virginia also was taking a ton of deep shots, so that's going to affect the completion percentage. I've talked about this in the past, but I fully expect that to be up over 60 next season for Garrett Green. I think it'll take a big jump, and who knows, maybe he could be a 3,000-yard passer for the Mountaineers next season. It's not out of the realm of possibility with some of the action he missed this season. And of course, you can't count out Nico Marchiol as well. He did a phenomenal job when he was called upon this year, leading West Virginia to a backyard brawl victory. And of course, you know, he has a bright future for the Mountaineers, as he's confirmed he will return next season as well. 247 passing yards for him, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Gonna have to, you know, be a little bit better passing numbers wise, accuracy wise on his side of things. But I think he did a great job when called upon running the football and really showed an aspect of his game that I didn't realize that he had. You know, the comparison that I've made, and you know, just the style of running, don't, you know, take this too far and run with it or anything, but I think he reminds me a lot of Tim Tebow with the left-handedness, some of the run plays that we called for him, and just his style of running. He's different than Garrett, not the explosive speedy guy. He's more the in-between the tackles kind of thing like Tebow used to do, and that's just where I get that comparison. And then, of course, can't forget Traylon Ray nearly throwing a touchdown on that earlier double pass in the season, the 21-yard completion to Cole Taylor to give West Virginia their passing stats on the season. 2,600 yards on the season for the Mountaineers, 18 touchdowns versus 7 interceptions. Good job there taking care of the football by the quarterbacks for West Virginia. That's one of the most bright spots, I think you can say, about both quarterbacks, as they did a great job managing the football game for West Virginia. Rushing numbers, obviously Jaheim White, the standout, 842 yards, nearly 8 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, and like I said, didn't play a ton, didn't really get involved heavily until the latter portion of the season, so fully expect him to potentially be a 1,000-yard rusher for West Virginia next season. But just how about West Virginia? 3 players over 700 rushing yards. That's big of an in and of itself there. C.J. Donaldson was next in line with 798 yards and 11 touchdowns. Garrett Green, 772 yards and 13 touchdowns for the West Virginia quarterback, over 6 yards per carry. And I think a lot of his carries were very impactful because he could pick up first downs when West Virginia really needed it. Maybe it's, you know, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7. It's not open. He scrambles, takes off, gets a first down. Seemed like that happened time and time again in situations when West Virginia really needed it. And that's just something that he brings to the table. And while a lot of fans for West Virginia have really been wanting a dual threat quarterback for quite some time and are super excited that we finally have it now, and seem like that's what we're going to have for the future here in the Neil Brown era. When you see Nico behind him, you see Khalil Wilkins, Sean Boyle, all these quarterbacks that West Virginia are bringing in can run the football as well. So that's good to see. Justin Johnson since moved on from the program, 150 yards and one touchdown. Jalen Anderson, 147 yards and a touchdown. And Nico, as I mentioned, with his running ability, 133 yards and a touchdown as well. And then moving on to the receivers, Devin Carter does finish up as the team's leading receiver with 501 yards, leads the team in receiving yards, does not lead in receptions. The receptions leader, Cole Taylor, first West Virginia tight end to lead the team in receptions, and I believe it's, what, 40 or 50-plus years, if I'm not mistaken on that number. 35 catches, 444 yards, and four touchdowns. Super excited that he's back next season. 6'7", pass-catching tight end, really gave West Virginia's offense another dimension. And defenses, you know, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I don't want to face West Virginia next year. That's all I'll say. Mentioned Hudson Clement a ton, 480 yards, four touchdowns for him on the season, and that's only on 22 receptions. I know at one point he led the nation in yards per reception, so he's going to be a big play guy for the Mountaineers moving forward, as will Traylon Ray. Seemed like every time West Virginia went deep to him, he was, you know, scoring touchdowns or drawing defensive pass interference calls. 18 catches, 321 yards and three touchdowns. Preston Fox, 368 yards and two touchdowns. E.J. Horton, 201 yards and a touchdown on 10 receptions. Jaheim White, 125 yards on five receptions, two of those being touchdowns. One of those, of course, my play of the year, the play there against Baylor to win that game with less than 30 seconds to go. And the other being the longest play of the season for WVU, the 75-yard hookup that he had from Garrett Green on the little wheel route or the sail route out of the backfield for the 75-yard touchdown there against Cincinnati. Rodney Gallagher, West Virginia used him in some interesting ways this year. 10 catches, 74 yards on the receiving end to go along with his 15 carries for 87 yards on the rushing end. And I think he'll, you know, learn more of the route tree this offseason, be utilized more in the passing game. Seems like a lot of this season it was, you know, screens, jet sweeps, kind of gadget plays for RG3. And not that West Virginia won't continue to use him in that way, because you want to get him the ball in his hands any way that you can and try and get him in space. I think that they will, but I think also you'll see him throw the ball to him downfield more some next season, which I'm super excited to see. Then moving on here, let's look at some of the defensive numbers. Obviously, kicking, got to shout out Michael Hayes, perfect on extra points on the year, 17 to 21 on field goals. His only misses on the year were from 50 plus, I think, save for one. He's got one miss from 40 to 49 range here. According to ESPN, I thought that they were all from 50 plus, but ESPN says otherwise. Either way, though, excellent addition from him, and he'll be back. Has confirmed that he will return to West Virginia next season as well for his final season of collegiate football. Lee Koba leads the team in tackles. Got to shout out Lee. He will not be returning. Obviously, he's moving on. Hopefully, he finds a home in the NFL. But great job at playing that Mike linebacker position for West Virginia the past two seasons. Racked up a ton of tackles, and it really was a fan favorite during his time here. Also added three sacks and a pass deflection. Anthony Wilson, second on the team in tackles, as I said earlier, will be returning for his final season in 2024. 80 tackles, four pass deflections, one interception. Beanie Bishop, 67 tackles, 20 pass deflections, four interceptions for Beanie. Ben Cutter, the true freshman, called upon, you know, thrust into action after, you know, linebacker depth really took a hit for West Virginia after the injuries to Trotter and Lathan, and then Ja Favaris, among others as well. 56 tackles, two sacks, one pass deflection for Ben Cutter as well. Marcus Floyd, 50 tackles, 7 pass deflections, and an interception for him. Really did a great job playing that spear spot for West Virginia when they needed him to take over that this season. West Virginia will look to find someone to fill that void now. Jared Bartlett has since moved on as well, 49 tackles for him. Aubrey Burks, great season, 48 tackles, 4 pass deflections, 2 interceptions as well. And then, of course, when you're moving on down here, you got to talk about Malachi Ruffin. He's moved on. I wanted to highlight him, though, the great job he did playing cornerback for West Virginia as well. 37 tackles, 5 pass deflections, and interception for him, and a ton of standout other West Virginia defensive players. Can't go through here and mention them all, you know, for brevity purposes. Obviously, I'm kind of scrolling through the stat sheet here. If you're watching on the video side, you can see some of the numbers here if you'd like to, but, you know, hop over to, you know, the ESPN stat sheet, WVUstats.com. However, if you want to check out more of West Virginia's individual defensive stats on the season, but I'll talk about some more standout players here, because one final segment to close up the season review, I want to talk about the season snap counts for West Virginia. You you guys that follow along on the channel. I talked about the player grades feature I do week to week. I also do one detail on the snap counts for West Virginia in each game. So I thought it'd be fun to go back and take a look at the season snap counts. So I compiled a list here. Let's take a look. All right. Offensively, West Virginia, 943 snaps on the season. Quarterback, you know, heavily favoring Garrett Green, 738 snaps for him versus 206 for Nico. The running back snaps, C.J. Donaldson leads it with 426, Jaheim White second there at 275. The players highlighted in red, you'll see here, if you're watching on the video version, are players that have since entered the transfer portal, which is Justin Johnson, 127 snaps on the season, 126 for Jalen Anderson. How about those two being nearly dead even? 17 snaps for DJ Oliver, the true freshman running back, will be a redshirt freshman for the Mountaineers next season. And then the rarely used fullback position for West Virginia, we did get 25 snaps out of a transfer preferred walk-on Luke Hamilton, and 3 snaps out of Colin McBee, the preferred walk-on playing the fullback spot for West Virginia. But then we move on to the wide receivers, where it's a pretty even number of snaps here across the board for the guys that played a lot. You get 498 for Devin Carter on the year to pace the wide receivers. Then you get 452 for Traylon Ray, 423 for Preston Fox, 370 for Hudson Clement. Like I said, some of his taken away due to injury, I'm sure he'd be up there over 400, right with the other guys there. 269 for Rodney Gallagher III, 165 for EJ Horton, 151 for Cortez Braham, who of course has since transferred. We know him and a fellow former JUCO transfer, Jeremiah Aaron, both kind of sat out early in the season. 57 snaps for Jarrell Williams, 55 for Jeremiah Aaron, 31 for C.J. Cole, the preferred walk-on, 29 for Deshaun Polk, who has also since transferred, 12 for Noah Massey in his one season with West Virginia, and then 9 for preferred walk-on Tyler Evans, and 2 for preferred walk-on Taryn Fitzpatrick. Looking at the tight ends for West Virginia, 704 snaps for Cole Taylor. Talked about the phenomenal year that he had. Best that a West Virginia tight end has had in quite some time. Then you get 383 snaps for Traylon Davis, 29 for Victor Wickstrom, and 11 for Will Dixon. Then the offensive line, and this is where it's interesting for the Mountaineers here. You see a ton of snaps spread out across, 7 names for West Virginia. And the great news there is that 5 of those 7 will be returning in 2024 for the Mountaineers. But leading that snap count, Zach Frazier, 806 snaps on the season. Then you get 795 from Brandon Yates, 754 for Wyatt Milam, 690 for Thomas Rimmick, 663 for Doug Nestor, 432 for Jaquay Hubbard, and 418 for Nick Malone. Then the rest of the offensive line here that kind of rounded out the depth for West Virginia. And some of these guys are guys that may be, expected to step into, more reserve roles where they could, see a higher snap count, much along the lines of Jaquay Hubbard and Nick Malone, who you see both over 400 snaps on the season, but neither one were, full-time starters for the Mountaineers. You could see, someone like a Johnny Williams be able to handle a role like that next season as a tackle for West Virginia, one of those swing tackles right there alongside Nick Malone. But you get 54 snaps for Sully Weedman, 47 for Johnny Williams, 38 for Landon Livingston, 32 for Bryce Biggs, and 25 for Nick Cray, and 22 for Cooper Young, both freshmen that West Virginia is pretty high on. They'll be redshirt freshmen next season. So those are the offensive snaps. There you get the 943 snaps that the offense played. Let's flip it over to the other side, where West Virginia's defense faced 879 snaps this season, and run through some of those. Starting up front, defensive line, Steady Eddie, as I like to call him, leads the way. 518 snaps, followed by Sean Martin with 489. Then you get 409 snaps from the Mike Lockhart, who was now transferred away from the program. You see highlighted in red there. Same goes for Tommy Durajaye, who played 270 snaps. Then you get 240 from Fotor Mamulba. I think that number will go up next year. Has the potential to be a starter at the nose tackle spot for the Mountaineers. 217 for Jalen Thornton, who has decided to move on. He's graduated from WU, didn't transfer out, just graduated and is moving on. 152 snaps for Day Hawkins in his lone season as a Mountaineer, 138 for Asani Redwood, and I think that he's someone that's coming back from the knee injury that he had, is really, started to seem like the light came on for him late in the season. You saw him make an incredible sack in that bowl game, and he's a guy that could really help pass rush next year as well and rack up sacks. We saw him rack up a ton his senior year of high school, putting up absurd numbers there as a pass rusher. Now he has a huge frame to go along with it, so I'm really excited about Asani Redwood in 2024. 112 snaps for Hammond Russell. He's another nose tackle that will see an increased role, as could potentially Corey McIntyre Jr. We know he's the son of the former NFL player that, you know, played at WVU. Corey McIntyre played a long time at fullback position in the NFL, and the coaches are really high on Corey McIntyre Jr. on the defensive line. He'll be a redshirt freshman next year after playing 23 snaps this year. 4 snaps for Zakai Lawton, 2 for Orion Fisher, a true freshman, 2 for walk-on DJ Cotton, Harry Hilbert, and Derek Berlitz. Then we look at the banded position, where West Virginia really played 2 guys for the majority of the snaps throughout the season. As you see here, 578 for Jared Bartlett, 327 for Tyron Bradley, 41 for Torres Simmons, and then 2 for James Hurd, who is, of course, since transferred, winding up at Syracuse. Tyron Bradley, the lone returnee really here for West Virginia that saw any extensive playing time with his 327 snaps, but West Virginia has added Ty French and some other players, and it's also going to be interesting to see how the bandits used with West Virginia moving to more of a 3-4 next year, if they kind of transition that into more of a traditional outside linebacker type role. We'll see what happens there. But then, speaking of linebackers, West Virginia really took a hit there with the injuries and almost exclusively had to play, you know, Lee Coba and Ben Cutter throughout the second half of the season. And some of that hurt West Virginia late in games, I think. So hopefully having, you know, a more healthy linebacking core next season will really help in 2024. But also the fact that these freshmen really got a ton of experience between Cutter and Lathan. And you also have a very talented one in Josiah Trotter, the son of Jeremiah Trotter, that'll be there as well. I think West Virginia's linebacking core is in great hands moving forward. Without Lee Coba, who has paced that snap count for the past couple of seasons, 777 snaps in 2024 for him, 464 for freshman Ben Cutter, 264 for Trey Lathan prior to his injury, and he was having a freshman All-American, you know, phenomenal type of season prior to that injury. And I think West Virginia's defense really took a hit after his injury. You see how well they performing when he and you know, Lee Coba were on the field together. So I think, you know, next season with Trey Lathan on the field, it really could transform West Virginia's defense yet again. He's that type of player, I think. 264 snaps for him, 130 for Caden Beiser after he earned a scholarship prior to this season, 40 snaps for Joffa Veras dealing with an injury. Same goes for Tyreek Austin Cade, both those guys hoping to be more healthy in 2024. Spear position, this is where West Virginia has a ton to replace. As you see, Marcus Floyd moving on to graduation, and then you get Hershey McLaren and Lance Dixon moving on to the transfer portal. So West Virginia will bring back some youngsters with, you know, Raleigh Collins and, you know, the aforementioned Aiden Nelson, who's also now on the basketball team. But West Virginia is going to add some players to help at this position and maybe even move some pieces around. But this season, 492 snaps for Marcus Floyd playing the spear spot, 302 for Hershey McLaren, 182 for Lance Dixon, 59 for Raleigh Collins, and 3 for Aiden Tagaloa and Nelson. And then the cornerback spot, as I said, this is really the standout thing that shows a lot of where West Virginia's secondary's depth was hurting. When you look at the cornerback and safety spot, really, you know, 2 guys getting most of the snaps at both of those positions. At the cornerbacks, Beanie Bishop, you know, leading the snaps on defense by a long shot, playing 837 of West Virginia's 879 total defensive snaps on the season. So not only is he a, you know, consensus All-American, not only does he, you know, run punts back for touchdowns, he's also an Iron Man, plays nearly the entire season, nearly every snap, and does a phenomenal job of it. And 742 snaps for Malachi Ruffin. Nothing to thumb your nose at either. Great season for him to end his career. 131 snaps for Jacoby Spells. He'll be counted upon more next season. 63 for Andrew Wilson Lamp, who has since transferred away. 12 for Montre Miller, who's hoping for that waiver and going to be back in 2024 if so. 3 for freshman Jordan Jackson, who the coaching staff seemed to be high on there in the latter portion of the season. And then rounding out our snap counts with the safeties, 787 for Anthony Wilson, 703 for Aubrey Burks, both those guys over 700 snaps. 75 snaps for Keyshawn Cobb, who has since transferred out as well. Need to highlight him in red now. And 25 for Avery Wilcox, 15 for Christian Stokes, who has also since transferred. And then 11 for Josiah Jackson, the other brother, the other twin Jackson brother, to go along with the aforementioned Jordan Jackson. Both those guys be redshirt freshmen for the Mountaineers next season. So there's a look at the snap counts for West Virginia in 2023. So there you have it, Mountaineer Nation, a review of the 2023 WVU football season with some, you know, player grades, highest on offense and defense, some superlatives, some stats that really stood out, you know, team and individual wise. All of those things, I think, will really get you excited for 2024. But if they don't, how about a couple of standout things from PFF here that will get you excited, because all of these players return next season. And how about Wyatt Milam coming out as one of the top 10 highest graded tackles in the entire country? As you see here, 80.4 grade. And then Jaheim White, one of the top 10 highest rated running backs in the country, with his 89.1 offensive grade. And lastly, but certainly not least, quite the opposite, in fact, the signal caller, Garrett Green, coming out as the sixth highest graded quarterback in the entire country, tied along with the same grade as one Michael Penix, who, what did he do? Oh, he played for a national championship and was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. And he's three-tenths of a point ahead of Drake May, who's going to be one of the highest drafted quarterbacks in the NFL draft. And he's also ahead of Caleb Williams, who is going to probably be the top quarterback taken. So that's the type of year that Garrett Green had. And let's not forget to mention, it's his first year ever, you know, as a complete starter, starting for the entire year. So next season, his final year in football, should be a really fun one. And, you know, the other thing that I want to point out, all of those are coming back, you know, a top 10 tackle nationally when Wyatt Milam, a top 10 running back, and Jaheim White, a top 10 quarterback, and Garrett Green, not to mention all the other pieces on offense that were super young that we've highlighted here, you know, Rodney Gallagher, Hudson Clement, Traylon Ray, the great transfers, the great, you know, freshmen that's coming in, the ones that have already redshirted. This staff's done a great job building this program. But if that doesn't get you excited enough, how about this? There's a EA Sports College football video game coming out in early July. And man, oh man, is West Virginia not going to be fun to play with on that, with Garrett Green and Jaheim White running some read options, some RPO. Give me Rodney Gallagher coming on a jet sweep. I can hand it to him. I can pitch it to White. I can hand it to CJ. Oh man, it's going to be fun. I'm going to be running some franchises with West Virginia. I'm sure that you guys will as well. I guess they're called dynasties on the college football game. It's been so long since I've played one. I'm using the Madden terminology, but that's just something I'm super excited for that's coming in 2024. But the thing that I'm most excited for coming in 2024 is probably the most anticipated WVU football season in quite some time, because of the success we just had here in 2023. You know, the second most successful win total that we've had since joining the Big 12 Conference. So that's no small feat. Seems like this program is really at a good point and in a good place right now. So excited of what's to come in 2024. Let me know, what are you most excited for in the West Virginia football season in 2024? Do you think that West Virginia can be a Big 12 title contender? You know, let me know that. And then also, you know, let me know your thoughts on the 2023 season. What was your favorite play? Who was your MVP? Who was your newcomer? Anything you want to know there and you want to add to the conversation, drop them in the YouTube comments, in the rating review section if you're listening on the audio side. Or, you know, same goes if you're there on the web at wvsportsnow.com. We appreciate all those interactions as we continue to try and grow the Country Roads webcast community throughout Mountaineer Nation. Be putting out more episodes here throughout the offseason of the CRW podcast, so stay tuned to our social media on when those will be released. You can find us on X/Twitter at WVU Country Roads. Then we're just Country Roads Webcast on both Facebook and Instagram. I'm looking forward to the next one almost as much as I'm looking forward to the 2024 WVU football season, because I think it's going to be a special one. But 2023 sure was a fun one, and I've had a lot of fun reviewing it with you guys. Hope you guys have enjoyed listening or watching to this episode as well. Be back with episode 187 in the near future. In the meantime, I'm Jordan Cruz, wrapping up episode 186 here of the CRW podcast. And until next time, let's go Mountaineers. If you really want to know, then come on, let's go. Take a stroll down those...